was someone who I turned up at training excited every day to play under. You know, just you. I talk a lot of time to people that don't know John back in Australia that, you know, he's very similar to a Wayne Bennett in his ability to motivate a group of people and get them excited about playing footy every week. He was, you know, he was by far the best man motivator I've worked for, and you know, probably pushed my body as far as I could just because I just love playing for him. You know, it's just, but even when, you know, I lost my job at South, you know, probably the toughest point of my career, one of the first blokes on the phone, I hadn't spoken to him for, must have been close to 10 years, was JK, and that sums up the quality of the bloke he is. You know, just a good human being who loved rugby league. His legacy has touched many people. You know, I wouldn't be sat where I am without my time under John Key. There's no way I would have gone on and done what I've done in coaching without being influenced heavily by JK. He's by far the man who influenced me the most, and I'll always treasure those moments. But the game at the moment needs people like him. They need people that absolutely fundamentally love rugby league and want British game to be successful, and that oozed out of John, no doubt about that.
So I'm certain they'll take the two, because it's, if you're a golfer, Matt, it's a gimme. It's right underneath the posts. So he'll just draw breath. I'm glad he's drawing breath as well, because I've got cramp in my hands. They're pretty tight to
really,
this.
You actually have them. Yeah.
They're tight to these seats, aren't they?
This press box is one of the less
luxurious.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, the leg room is lacking. I mean, you aren't exactly Alex.
No,
Walsley,
no, and, I'm not.
No, Sam Walters.
No.
You wouldn't want to get him in here,
no,
you?
But I've still got some good legs, that's so.
Yeah, you've got some very good legs.
But need a bit of a stretch.
I'm Rob London. Welcome to What Would Brian Bevan Say? So, as Warrington basked in a heatwave last week, where are my two Amber Solaire Factor 50 wearing podcasters? Firstly, he's our very own wilting English rose. And when the sun comes out, he has more freckles than Twiggy. It's Sam Sankey.
Hello, good evening.
And also a man who didn't slip, slop and slap during his recent visit to Queensland. Yes, that's right, resulting in his entire face burning off. It's Dennis Waywell.
All right.
You had a bit of a facial, didn't you, Dennis, if I remember rightly? It like just came off in one big peel.
Yeah, I mean, it was quite the best way to get sunburnt is that it was a 24-hour sunburn. The whole face fell off. We should have really kept the face, really, Rob, I think. Oh. We could have sold that on eBay.
Like a death mask.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, pretty disgusting. The only slip-slap-slop I did was having a piss down a road near Rob's house, and he got really agitated and anxious. Oh.
Very first night they arrived, we went to the pub, and he urinated in a neighbour's garden on the way home.
Do you know what? It's got North Warrington all over it, that, hasn't it?
It has, Samuel. It has. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, now, yes, we've all been away, I think. I think we've all been away. Sam sent some lovely pictures of him and Mrs. Sankey on a windswept cliff. Very nice, Sam. You're all refreshed for the pod?
Yes, well, I don't know if I'm all refreshed for the pod, but yes, I'm all refreshed. It had a nice few days up on the edge of Morecambe. That's a bit grim, but we had a lovely time.
Mm. Nice view of the nuclear power station. I thought that looked nice.
Exactly. It was nice and warm. It had there was a glow. Oh. It was a lovely glow. Mm. Mm.
Yeah. Did you not go to the visitor centre, Sam?
No. No, I didn't. No. I mentioned it to someone else. They said, oh, I went to the visitor's centre there.
Yeah.
Clearly a place to go in the early 90s.
Alan London had his full dose of radiation in there. I think he wasn't allowed to go into the reactors anymore because he was, you know, he was with NNC. He was always going in the reactors, and the doctor said to him, "You know, you've had your full dose now. You can't really because you've been going in them for 20 years." And he said, "Will that affect me?" And he said, "No, no." He said, "That's cleaned out all your tumours for the last 20 years. It's actually quite good to have a little bit of radiation. You know, just a little bit.
That's right.
Just clean rinses you off." He said, "You've had less radiation than if you'd grown up in Aberdeen, which is built on granite. The granite gives off more radiation than." It's good facts, aren't they? And Dennis, you've seen the Red Arrows.
Oh, yeah. So I went to watch a band, Sambroso All Stars in Exeter. And then I went to a campsite, sat in a field, and the Red Arrows flew over really low, about 300 feet. They took off from Exeter that day. And I did think to myself, oh, yeah, well, the RFL should have had them. I thought they were going to go over Wembley, but probably too expensive, I suppose.
I think, to be fair, the RAF now, that's probably the only fighter planes we've got left, isn't it? We have to, don't they have to, like, double up now? Displays and fighting. Is that what they have to do?
Now, actually, I think it's worth mentioning, Dennis, that I went to old-fashioned Lancashire. You were camping in a field. But the patrons' money was spent on some five-star luxury hotel up in Queensland somewhere.
I've had a lovely time up near Cape Tribulation. Yeah, five-star all the way. It was lovely. Took Mrs. London up there. You know what she said to me? On the Saturday night, I think it was the third night in, she rolled over in bed, kissed me and said she was very lucky to have me. I think she was pissed at the time.
Yeah, really.
I think she was dreaming.
We are still wondering whether she actually exists anymore as well. So,
Less of that. Less of that, please. I was on a beach quite far north, and there was a local tribe there that still live there. Mm. If we want another prop, just go there. Jesus, you should have seen the size of them all. Unbelievable. Anyway, we're back, boys, so we should probably carry on. We should probably just mention John Keir. I mean, it was obviously terrible news that he passed away on, I think it was on Sunday, wasn't it, after the Challenge Cup final. In all the clips that I've heard, we didn't know John, but it seems that he liked a right good laugh. So should we have a good laugh for the next hour? Is that the way to sort of commemorate John Keir?
Yes, I think that's the way forward, isn't it?
Okay. All right, then. Right, well, let's move on to the Bradford Bulls game, which wasn't a good laugh, unfortunately. The team was Thulish, Ashton, King, Smith, Apawati, Irwin, Hayes, Thomas, Powell, Byrne, Philbin in the second row with Bentley and Captain Curry. Interchange bench was Walker, Sipley, Crowther and Tanganawa. So as Melanie C took to the main stage at Vicky Park at 3 o'clock, at the same time, would there be a Bradford Northern star at the Halliwell Jones? See what I did there? Here's the highlights.
You're very proud of that, aren't you?
They tried to catch a falling star, thinking that she had gone too far. She did, but kept it hidden well.
Curry! Thewlis with the dummy! Beautiful play from Josh Thewlis! What a lovely try!
She's gonna end up just like you.
Desperate times this in the early stages for the Bradford Bulls. Thomas! The line! Has he managed to get the ball down there?
Build you up so they can tear you down. Trust the ocean, you'll never drown.
You could see you haven't got the ball down. They may now hear with Hopewarty in the corner. Albert Hopewarty dives over in the corner. Again, the Warrington defence is firm. Center now. He'll be tackled over the line. Or have he got the ball down? He thinks he's got the ball down. Lovely sidestep from Irwin. Brilliant. Absolutely sensational from the teenager, Ewan Irwin. Is away. The pace of Matty Ashton, nothing that Kaylee Makin can do this time.
Your soul, is it any wonder we've lost control?
Kelechi. There is somewhere to go. Brilliant! Oh, what a try for Jaden Nikarima! Sensational try, arguably one of the tries of the day.
Final score, Warrington 26, Bradford 12. There were tries for Thulis, Thomas, Hopewarty, Irwin and Ashton. Conversions, Irwin kicked 3 from 5. Referee was Kendall Mintcake, and a healthy attendance on a bank holiday weekend of 9,306. Now, Dennis and I have a little WhatsApp message back in two this morning to say we both have no recollection of the game whatsoever. I have gone back and watched the highlights this morning. There was 9 minutes of highlights on the Super League website. I did fast forward through them, if I'm honest. All got a bit much. But you were there. You were there, Sam. In the sunshine, with your hat on.
Pissed.
Your Amber Solaire, the lot, yes?
Well, to be fair, no, I wasn't pissed. But yes, it was a drinking day.
Oh.
It was it was a strange day because the concert, the Weekender, was on at Vicky Park, and clearly there was a mix of individuals, some going to the game and some going off to Vicky Park, circulating around the market between noon and 2 o'clock.
I saw a few pictures of the Weekender. It's not really Glastonbury, is it?
No,
it's quite skanky looking at the people.
Are you familiar with the music that was on that weekend, Sam? Do you know who was playing?
Well, I quite enjoyed Richard Ashcroft later on, as I'm sat out in my back garden and the wind, there's just a gentle breeze coming from Vicky Park, and I heard every word. It was excellent.
Yeah.
It was, that was my entertainment for the evening.
Very good.
Yes. Yeah. The Kaiser Chiefs were on as well. We could hear them. We could work that out.
Oh, they're wankers, they are. Sorry.
Mrs. Sankey likes him.
Oh, right, I see. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Anyway, back to the rugby. One thing I'm going to say, it was hot, bloody hell. It was hot. It was over 30 degrees. And that was just when you sat around doing nothing other than sipping a pint of lager.
Sorry, are we back to the rugby yet? Or we're still talking about you drinking?
We're back
in the
to
sun?
The rugby.
All right, okay.
He hasn't mentioned any rugby yet, Dennis, if I'm honest.
No, I know.
And we started brilliant. Well, one player started brilliant, didn't he? My friend Josh. Can we break the time frame
money,
continuing?
Yes.
Hooray!
Yeah, he went over.
Finally.
Josh Smith has played very well. I've made a note of that as well, that him and Hopewarty have been our best signings this year. So I'm glad you're in agreement with that, Sam.
Anyway, we started well. Bradford, I forget the guy's name, their winger, took Thewlis out. Hello.
Is that because you can't remember the Bradford player's name? So we're just playing the dog soundbite over
every
it
time
now.
The dog barks. Have you ever noticed on this podcast, every time his dog barks, the player leaves the club?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I noticed he's just got up and he's got Sam's his shorts on in the house.
He waddled across then, didn't he? Did you see him waddling there? He's brought the
dog in. On the podcast.
Hey, I've lost 4 pounds so far.
Off which tit?
Two off each.
Right, so you've got nothing for us, basically, at all on this, Sam.
Come on. We started well. We started bright. They lost a man. And before you know it, we were 10-0 up with tries from Thewlis and Thomas. Mm. And it looked like it was going to be a stroll. We then bombed a few chances before finally Hopewarty scored in the corner. 14-0 up after 30 minutes. I'm thinking this could be 40 or 50 points. Mm. And then towards the end of the half, I don't know whether it was the aforementioned heat, because I don't know if I said it was hot. I don't know if it was the heat, or it's a sign that we were talking about, was it last week or the week before, that towards the back end of the first half and the second half, we're dropping off. Our intensity's dropping because no sooner have we gone 14-0 up than Bradford come back with possibly only about their third attack and score. Then they nearly score again. And frankly, from a position of complete dominance after 30 minutes, we were a little lucky to come away 14-6 at half-time.
Dennis, where were you? You were in a tent, were you? You sent one picture. It just seemed to be the sky. Yeah. I'm not sure if you were pissing on your back, but it was. Or was that the Challenge Cup? I can't remember.
No, that was. I didn't have a signal for this match, so I had to go on radio silence.
Is there
for
no signal
hours.
In Britain? Where's no. all the signals?
Well, it's just in the middle of nowhere. But I did use our friend and the patron's friend who can stream the game within 24 hours. So I watched it the following.
Can you send me that? Can you send me that link? I don't need it.
I did send you.
Oh, did you? No, can't remember.
Yeah, you gave it all the patrons, didn't you? All the patrons have now got access. So I did watch the full game.
You didn't likely lads it.
No,
you didn't.
Yeah, I didn't know the score.
Oh, you didn't know the score. I was going to say, why would you watch that if you'd known the score?
Well, exactly, yes, because by the end of it, I was thinking, it's just like, you know, when you go to work and like some days you just can't remember what happened. You just went to work, came home. It felt like that as a game. It felt like we did it again. And there's nothing wrong with this. It's just that we went to work, did the job, and came home, and that was it. And I say there's nothing wrong with it because actually we're in that mid-season now where, you know, we're not doing anything special, but we're still picking up wins, which I think is what you just need to do.
I always think in a job, you should go to work enthusiastically. You should enjoy your job. If you've not got a passion about your job, there's no point. This sounds like Lockers in 1985. No.
It's not what you were saying before, Rob, is it, when we had our little green room chat? You were saying, like, do as little as possible and,
dictating. Well, you know, you stand on the top of the hill at the back and just wave your
dictating.
Arms around.
Yes, that's a hell of a that's a hell of a company, isn't it?
No, it is. It's
run by a dictator.
we scored 10 points when they had 12 players on the park, right?
We did.
I did think that hats off to the lad who got over, Thomas. I think Thomas is a good find. He's a young lad and I think he's got more impact than Yates. I know Yates is out for the season and we'll move on to that in the news section, but I actually think this lad's a good find. I think he's a good prop. He's not that old, right, Sam? He's still got a bit of time to fill
out. No, he's 20, 21. He might be 22.
So,
depending on where
you keep hold of that lad at 25, he's going to be a big lad, and he's tough. And he just does his job. He just goes forward with the ball. He was our top-making prop as well, top-making forward. Oh, Curry, sorry. Curry was 104. Thomas was 87. But he's outdone Byrne on 79. So I thought he was a good find. I really liked the prop that came on for Bradford. He reminded me of Paul Anderson.
Oh, yes.
Paul Anderson. You can't beat a big lad.
Gil.
A big lad. And he ran. He made a big difference when he came on.
Yes. He was the one who scored.
Yeah, scored. And then I think he also set up the one that they didn't give. Comes off sort of him moving forward. So, yeah, I really liked him. What else happened in this game? Hapawati again showed he knows where the line is, put a nice ball down in that corner. He did fluff one in the second half where he was a bit short and didn't quite get it over. Yeah. But where are we at now? I mean, we're coming to the point, Sam, where we're going to have all our back line available and you can only fit, you know, five of them in there. Kai Taylor-Ray comes back. You've got Aaron coming back from that long-term knee injury. Where do we fit them all in? What's your perfect back five? What would you play? Oh, let's just work on the assumption. All are fit. All are perfectly fit, raring to go. What five are you picking?
If all were fit and were raring to go for this Friday against Hull, I am starting with Josh Thewlis at fullback. And
so he
Matty
keeps
Ashton.
Place.
Yeah, Matty Ashton left wing.
Right.
So, at the minute, I am sticking with Toby King, left centre.
Right.
Because I think he gives us go for.
Yes, he does.
Ironically, not in the attacking sense, although he does score and it's his strength.
And he passed a ball to Ashton this week.
Mm. Finally. Now, my quandary actually comes with Smith and Hopoati.
Can you use another word other than quandary for the listener?
For the weekenders.
Another word other than quandary.
Yeah.
My dilemma
nah,
comes
too well. Too much. Yeah, for the weekenders it is, yeah. Yeah. Choice. Difficulty? Right. Choice? Maybe.
My choice is between, yeah. I like both of them. I agree with you, Dennis, that I like the way they come out. I'm not seeing quite as much from Smith at centre as when he was on the wing. That's just my feeling. And I'm seeing a lot of good finishing from Hopoati on the wing. Possibly that's why he's moved him there. But I just felt he was giving more all around at centre. So it'd be interesting. I personally would have had them the other way around, but I can't argue against the finishing that Hopoati's given.
Right. Okay. That's what you're going.
So you're not bringing anyone else in. You're sticking with the five that
at the minute, I think my only thought would be who I would put in the centres. That would be my only thought.
Interesting.
I like Kai Taylor-Ray. I really like him. I think he's exciting and gives us a little bit of X factor, if that's not a bit too...
ITV.
ITV, yes.
Would you not put him at hooker, like, instead of Powell?
No, do you bloody
Well,
hell.
Do you know what, Dennis? Dennis, I am with you. This is my back line.
Oh, you mean
is,
coming off the bench, you mean?
My back line is Foolish... Yeah. Thulis, Ashton, King, Lindop, Hopoati, starting hooker, Walker, replacement interchange hooker / back if someone gets injured, Kai Taylor-Ray. Would you want Kai Taylor-Ray running from acting halfback after 60 minutes?
No, absolutely. I mean, he's been smashed a few times. I think going forward, that's a very interesting idea.
One of the reasons I put that forward is because, do you want to know Powell's stats for this game? Carries, 0. Meters, 0. Average gain, 0.
9 tackles.
Tackles, just 9, yeah.
Now, you're telling me that Kai Taylor-Ray at hooker wouldn't be better than that?
No, in a way, you might as well play with a man short than have that as your contribution, mightn't you?
Mm. Yeah. Dennis, do you like my theory?
Yes, yeah, I'm all for it. And I think it should be, can you send a message off for just to see if you can get that organised for us? Because thing is that... Kai Taylor-Ray is what he might have some, frailties around under the high ball or this, that and the other. But what he is...
Could you use another word, please, than frailties for the weekenders?
He's got some problems under the high ball. But, you know, what he is good at is that explosive speed, surprise, jigging in and out. And have that in the middle of the field on a hot day. Wow. Yeah, you'd be like running rings around that. I mean, that Bradford guy was massive. I don't know how big he was. He must have been about 6'5" and about 3-4 foot wide.
I'd like to see. So, I think, you know, they do these, you know, the green goddess running down the pitch to see how quick he is. Why don't they have like a pizza twist eating competition? You know, midweek. Everyone has to send. I watch that beard guy on YouTube all the time. He eats massive meals and gets like 2 million followers. Just, I mean, if you want to get some. Decent hits on YouTube. Just everyone has to provide a prop and they all have 40 pizza twists to eat.
I think you'll find that project was given to Professor Broomhead last year, but we've still not seen anything of it because I think he ate everything. But... So what did you do at half-time then, Sam? How did you refresh yourself?
unusual for me, it was I had a lager.
And one of those, was it? Is it what they sell in there? It's like Cronin something, aren't
they? I've not got a clue what it was.
1678 Trafalgar Square or something. Right, okay.
Yeah, it was yellow and fizzy.
That's not good for your system.
No, it's not good for me. No, it's not good for me. It wasn't about 2 hours later. No.
Oh, it's constitutional.
But at the time, it was cold and wet. The reason I wanted to talk about just after half-time, two things. I'm slowly going off James Bentley.
No. Oh, we've had a letter. Do you want the letter? We've had a... We've had a couple this. Shall I read them both out now? Just to see, it's half-time. Shall I read out both the letters?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we've had two. Where can I find... So we had a direct message on Facebook from Tracy Beakard. James Bentley is basically my dad's Bentley Continental GT. The previous owner gave up on it, so Dad bought it for a reasonable price and got it running again despite 140,000 miles on the clock. It has tremendous power. It's impossible to ignore, but you spend half your journey waiting anxiously for the warning light to come on.
Yeah.
It's gone back to, what was your section? Was it Austin of the Week or something? She's done a Bentley of the Week there.
Yeah. So. And, oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah, James. Oh, you know what? We've missed
it. You want the other one? We've had one also from Dear Lads. I was listening to What Would Brian Bevan last week when Dennis proudly announced he'd been using artificial intelligence to transcribe the podcast. It sounded much like Warrington's left edge defence. The technology immediately collapsed under pressure and repeatedly translated the discussion into references about elves with taped heads. Do you remember this?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. He said, this brought back deeply traumatic memories from my time working as Santa's little helper at Woolworths in Warrington in 1978. Back then, health and safety was less strict guidelines and more, here's your hat, don't smoke near the tinsel. Was it on Buttermarket Street, Woolworths? It was on Buttermarket Street, wasn't it?
No, it's on Sankey Street, just
Sankey
down
Street,
the
was it? Just down, okay, all right. Next to that nightclub, wasn't it? You go up that nightclub right next to it.
Was that a Carlton?
Carlton Club.
During one particular busy Saturday in the lead up to Christmas, an argument broke out between two mothers trying to purchase a last splash it all over brute gift set as advertised by Henry Cooper.
Henry Cooper.
In the chaos, Father Christmas attempted to intervene. He slipped on a discarded Texan bar wrapper and landed directly on top of me, trapping me beneath his enormous hairy sack balanced on his sleigh. I was stuck there for nearly an hour while Blondie played continuously on loop over the tannoy. Brenda Hamlet came rushing over from haberdashery to help get me out from underneath the sleigh. As a spotty 13-year-old teenage boy, I nearly fainted because she had gorgeous legs like Tanya Arnold. The deputy manager always denied the rumours that he ended up with sticky fingers from encounters with Brenda in the store cupboard, insisting it was simply from licking his fingers after handling the pick and mix.
God.
Anyway, to make matters worse, the manager then attempted to hold my pointed ears together using industrial parcel tape from the stock room and pull me off. Sorry, I think that's a typo. Yeah. I think that's pull me out. Sorry. This resulted in the doctors later describing this as a festive compression injury. So hearing Dennis is discussing elves with taped heads after all these years was genuinely upsetting. Yours faithfully, Mike Hunt from Darsbury. So there you go, lads. A bit of the days.
Oh, reminiscent of Woolworths. Where were we? I forgot where we were now.
James Bentley.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I have lifted this from something I read, but I can't remember who it was. So if it was one of the listeners, one of the three listeners, I credit you without knowing your name. Someone said, it's as though when James Bentley makes a bit of an error, he then runs around like a maniac for the next 2 or 3 minutes trying to smack somebody. And that's what he was. And he ended up, I love it. Yeah, but that's how he ended up getting a yellow card again in a nothing game. We went down to 12 men.
Did you see the? He's he's doing some kind of renovating. Have you seen that?
Oh,
clip
he
of
is,
him?
Yes, yeah.
And he's standing on the bonnet of his car, like jumping off it. And I thought, oh, God, imagine if you were the neighbours. He's moved
Oh, I've not seen this. Is this social media, is it?
God. Oh, my God.
Do you not think it's good that we've got a bit of an Ed the Ball in the
yeah,
team?
Yeah, I just don't I want him living it. Next door to me. That's what I'm
oh,
saying.
No,
if you watch this video.
You're in Australia.
Where is he living? It looks like Beirut. Where is he living?
Oh, dear. I knew Sam was going to pull him up on this. Go on.
Following that, I've got something else on James Bentley a bit later. Following that, match, of course, when you and Irwin both scored with a lovely, lovely
you and
step
Irwin.
Through.
Dennis wasn't playing.
Not enough. Oh, no, he's in the field somewhere, wasn't he? Yes. Sorry.
It was just Irwin this week.
Yeah. It was.
So did Irwin
score?
That
was a good try. A good, good try, and then followed by an excellent try from Matty Ashton from a pass from King that you mentioned. But that was on 59 minutes, and we didn't score again. We clocked off again.
Did you clock
Dennis's
off?
Phrase.
Were you sleeping in your seat at the 60-minute mark?
It was like pulling teeth the last 20 minutes.
Bloody palms. You have one day where it's over 25 and the heat. I was on the phone to my mum. Oh, it's so hot. Oh, looking at the temperature, it was like 24 degrees. Oh, so can't sleep. Oh, you know, do you know what it's like? This is how embarrassing it is. Do you remember when the touring Australians would come over and play Warrington in like October? And you could pick out the supporters that had come from Australia because they'd be in the Wilderspool stand. And they'd all be wrapped up like they were going up the north face of the Eiger. Do you remember? They were all like in massive padded jackets and beanies. And everyone else was in like shirts, you know, going out in Warrington afterwards. It's the other way round when it comes to
the
Brits when it's over 28 degrees. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. James Bentley jumping off his car without his shirt. Anyway, sorry. Carry on. Sorry. Mm.
So we then went to sleep in, to use Dennis's sort of analogy. We clocked off. Well, job done, clocked off.
Well, it's been like that for a few weeks, though, hasn't it? It's been like that for a few weeks.
Does anyone clock on and off now? Is that finished?
Nah, I think
you just what you just put a tag under someone's skin now, don't you? They just beep as they go in and out.
Yeah,
right. That's a good idea. That actually, I'm going to note with that. Excellent.
Well, it's like when they've got one of the thing in the back of the shirts.
So my final James Bentley thing. You've mentioned his lovely hair a few times, and I don't know where it's suddenly popped into my mind. Remember Thackeray, who used to play in the wing for us? He had lovely hair.
Rick Thackeray. We had a letter from his son. Yeah, yeah. I also mistakenly. What's it? The Cat and Lion. You know where the Cat and Lion is going up through London Road. What's that? What's the hotel on the other side called?
It's Park Royal now. It used to be the Old Vic.
Right, so I got invited to. Remember Robert Bilton? Remember Eileen Bilton? It was that ad, and the brother was called Robert Bilton. He lived up there next to Mike Osborne, and he owned American Golf. And I got an invited to a party there, and I was absolutely hammered, and I don't know, it was pissing it down, and I got home, and I came home in this what can only be described as a Paddington trench coat. It was bright yellow. And I went, this isn't mine. And it had Rick Thackeray name tag in it because he'd been there.
Right. What an anecdote that is. Fucking hell. I mean, this match was so shit that now we're on Rick Thackeray overcoat name tag anecdote.
Why would a grown man have his name tag
in it? I have no idea.
Anyway, happy days.
Have we got anything else to say? So, look, I want to just say, I just want to say, So, like I say, we've played the last two or three matches.
Oh, here we go
again. We've won it in the first half.
We've been to work. We've come on.
We've been to work. We've clocked on. We've done the job. And actually, we've probably done our job within the allotted time period. And like, you know,
the productivity in this factory that you keep going on about is shit, Dennis.
I know it is.
There's one in Poland doing three times as much work. That's all I can say.
That might be the case, but you know, you don't want to work your employees too hard at this side of the stage of the season. So I think it's a good thing that, you know, we can win these games and sort of put our cue on the rack. And we should all be, you know, lamenting
very much feels like this cue that's going on the rack at the moment belongs to Willie Thorne. Just really boring.
Yeah, how do you sort of jizz up this run of form?
Well, is jizz up the right word? We'll come on. No, I don't think we should be using jizz at this time in the morning, especially over here.
Okay.
Here's Don't Tell Him Your Name, Stuart Pike, talking to Sam Burgess.
Delighted to say that we're joined now by the Warrington coach, Sam Burgess. And in conditions like this, you must be pleased with a big win.
Yeah, pleased with parts of it. I thought our energy was much better today. I thought we worked harder for each other. I thought some of our defensive efforts were better. I think we left a few points out there, maybe. I don't know. There's some points out there that we should be capitalising on. But, you know, it's a good place to be this time of the year. We've got a lot to get better at.
You made a big call before the game, dropping Mark Snead and bringing Leon Hayes in. I think your young halfbacks, you and Irwin and Leon Hayes, were mighty impressive.
No, I'm really proud with Leon, and obviously Ewan's been growing over the last month or so. But Leon's, you know, the work he's put in behind the scenes over the last 2 years, and certainly over the last 3 months, he's probably deserved to play a month or two ago, but you know, he's ground away, and I thought he looked really complete today. I thought his game was very balanced and defensively. He's very tenacious for a little lad.
Well, Paul Cuff up here was absolutely eulogising about 18-year-old Ewan Irwin. He looks like he could be a very special talent.
Yeah, well, everyone keeps telling me that. So, you know, he's a wonderful player. We all know that. But, you know, this level requires him to develop and improve. You know, and we're going to see that over the next 18 months.
Right, well, that was non-event, wasn't it? Moving on then. I've done a little diagram here, boys, of the post-contact meters average gain for the year, because yet again, even though we beat Bradford, we still lost on post-contact meters average gain. 2.6 compared to 2.68.
Can you just explain how you're actually calculating this as well for the listener?
So it's post-contact meters divided by carries. So we got 497 divided by 191, and we've got 465 divided by 173. So this year, out of all the games that we've played, and we've played 11 rounds, we've missed round two, but we've played 11 rounds, we are negative on the post-contact meters, apart from round five against Castleford, Sam. Mm. We've averaged 2.69 meters per carry, whereas post-contact meters, whereas the opponents have carried post-contact meters for 2.82 on average. I mean, it comes back to what you said, right, Sam? We might have the size, but we've not got the power. We've not got the resolve. We've not got the core strength in the middle of the park. I mean, that should not be that one-sided.
No, but can I just check? Are you taking away the clean breaks? Because if you've got a clean break, there'll be no contact there. So we need to take the clean breaks off.
How much time do you think I've got? I mean, clean breaks is
lots,
different,
because
right?
You just put it. You, AI is doing my job for you, so you've got loads.
Yeah,
of
but you're
how
the
shit. Dare you, AI?
Statistics.
How
you're...
dare you? Yes, come on, Sankey. This is your job. This isn't my job. Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you like me to do a little bit of work on that and come up with something magic for you next week? That will not, but that will translate on an Excel sheet, but maybe not over the airways.
I think the reason why it is that way, and the reason what you're coming up with there is why we win games, because we do break, but the bread and butter down the middle of the field, we don't win on.
Oh yeah,
no, I agree with that.
Yeah. Results round 12. Hull KR 62, Wigan 4. That was a thriller. Leeds 52, Huddersfield 0.
I'm glad I was sat in a field.
Edge of your seat stuff there. Lee 42, Hull 6. I had no fingernails left. Here we go. Castleford 30, St. Helens 10. There you go.
Does anybody know? Did anybody read what happened there? Because I saw that result and I thought, what happened? Did Saints put half a team out? Have they got loads of injuries? What's going on?
Well, they have got some injuries.
Mrs. London's about to leave. Just a sec, Mrs. London. Bye, darling.
Here we go.
Love you. Love you too. Love you. You're coming home tonight on time, yes? Yes, I thought you would be. You look so nice today. Lovely. Thank you. Goodbye. Goodbye, Mrs. London, as you go out the door. Yeah. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Such a good microphone. We can't actually pick up her voice on the end of this conversation.
No. No one knows, do they? St. Castleford versus St. Helens? No one knows what happened.
Well, no. Funny enough, on Sky Bet clearly knew because they gave St. Helens a head start in that game. So I don't quite know what was going on.
A bit of a Martin Gleeson again going on here and Sean Long.
On the handicap, yeah. Mm-hmm. I did catch the last 15, 20 minutes of it. And
why?
They were well beaten by that time.
Toulouse 18, Wakefield 22. Daryl Powell magic continues. York 22, Catalans 36. It leaves the table with Leeds out on top, with St. Helens also on 18 points. So even that loss, they're still on 18 points. Sam, have I got that wrong? No. Hull KR third. Warrington in... Why have I got Warrington on 18 points and not...
Why this have is an awful managed table. To get a book? Oh, dear.
Anyway, Huddersfield the bottom. They're shit. Get rid of them. That's about it, really, isn't it? Yeah.
You need to check all the others, don't you now? So you can't really read the rest out. By the way, if we've got any patrons who are good at Excel, could they get in contact with us and we give them a discount?
Warrington's game in hand against Hull KR will be played on Tuesday, the 18th of August, to accommodate the fixture and give Wyatt an extra day's rest. The York match has been brought forward and will now take place on Thursday, the 13th of August. Mm. You'll be away. You'll be in France by then, won't you, Sam? You're not going to be around for that.
Thursday the 13th. I'm back the day before. I'm back Wednesday the 12th.
Oh, lovely. Mm. The mastermind game, our combined table and Mr. Sankey only have one in the correct position. But
hang
Dennis,
on. In the table that you've posted here or the actual table?
You're nowhere near. You're nowhere near. Dennis and I both have three in the right place now. Yes. We're really coming together, Dennis. Mm. We're starting to work this out.
Yeah.
Right, that's it,
I think. To read into that? Anything to read into the table? I know we talked about it the other week. Well, I know it's wrong. But are there any teams maybe... in the top six.
We'd written it off. We'd said the top eight were fighting out for the six. Leeds, Saints, Hull KR, Warrington, Wakefield, Wigan, Lee and Catalans. But do we have to bring Castleford into the equation now?
Mm. Yeah. Sam, you watch 15 minutes.
Yeah, that big a points difference in a negative. They'll have to go some way to catch people up.
What are we making of Hull? I mean, we're going to play Hull, aren't we? So we're going to come on to Hull in the predictions. We'll leave Hull where they are for now.
Yeah.
Before that, John Craven's news round.
As discussed on the pod last week, it comes as no surprise, current Leeds Rhinos halfback Brodie Croft has signed for Warrington. He moves to the Halliwell Jones for the start of the 2027 season on a three-year contract. Croft played for the Melbourne Storm and the Brisbane Broncos in the NRL. He joined the Salford Red Devils in 2022, going on to win the Man of Steel Award in his first season before moving to Headingley. I watched a nice little clip of all the assists and tries that he's currently... They put that together on Super League this week. He can time a pass. He can draw a man and time a pass, which Williams can't do. And he seems more involved than Williams. I mean, he really seems pumped up when he scores. to me, he looks like a better player than Williams. He just offers so much more, and he doesn't seem to get injured as well. So I think it's
you've done it now, haven't you?
No, I think it's a really good signing. I didn't know much about him, but just watching that sort of 5-minute clip, and I know you can put good reels together, but that's the reel of this year. It's the reel of all the tries. I think he scored like 18 tries or something obscene, and 14 tries.
I'm just going to have to say I agree with you on Brody Croft, but I wouldn't say that reel was a good reel. It showed the same try from three different angles all the way through it. It was like watching a captain's challenge.
It did show that how shit Super League defences are, didn't it? Like some of the defences are just awful. Yeah. But a good player, when he's on song, will make a mockery of poor Super League. I remember when Austin came over, he took the piss for the first 6 weeks against Super, and then he's just standard just lowered. You know, your level just lowers to where you're at. It reminds me of like a factory where people just clock off at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and just put in a non-productive day after day. That's what it's reminding me of.
Yeah. Unlike you're starting to come round to my theory.
Yeah. What about the 3 years? We love a long contract to secure a contract, don't we? We like doing that. That's one of the things we do. Is
that the going rate though? 3 year contracts, is that like, you know, as a major signing?
I think
is that
NRL was 1 year, wasn't it? He was being offered 1 year down here because no one's committing to 3 years with a production line down here.
But I suppose that you look at someone like Brody Croft and you think, oh, you know what, we're going to base our team around him and his type of game. So you want to sort of have, right, okay, we'll give him 3 years on that, you know. Work the rest of it around him. So
I just went to check exactly how old he is. He's nearly 29. So
yeah,
he's 29 in the next month. So
he'll nearly be
32
when he finishes. Yeah.
Yes. So he's not old. I think for me, the positive for me is we know what we're getting. And I mean by that, when you sign someone from Australia, no matter how good they are over there, as Rob's consistently said, they don't always bed in and fit in the Northern Hemisphere when it's a bit wet and a bit dark. He's been here 5 years now. He's got a family here. He didn't say exactly where, but by the sounds of it, they live Manchester way, so he's not commuting the long distance. So that's ticking a lot of boxes for a player who's performed consistently well in Super League, isn't too old. A lot of risk has gone.
I'm just having a look. He was born in Dalby, Queensland. I've never heard of it. It sounds like an absolute shithole. Let me have a look.
Oh, God. That's why it's transitioned so well.
Yeah, that's at that. Yeah, you'd want to get out. Jesus, where's that? Dalby. Christ almighty. Oh, my God. It's like probably 4 or 5 hours west of Brisbane. I mean, it's the Wild West. Christ.
Oh, in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Hot, bleak, ping pong balls coming out of vaginas, all that kind of shit. So,
oh shit! I didn't put that on my itinerary when I came.
Luke Yates has been ruled out for the rest of the year and will undergo neck surgery, a similar procedure recently faced by George Williams. Though Burgess remains confident Williams will return before the end of the season. Also added to the casualty ward is Sam Stone, who is expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks with a hamstring injury, while Josh Thulis is awaiting scan results. In better news, Kai Taylor-Ray, James Harrison and Aaron Lindop are all edging closer to returns over the next few weeks. It's a bit of a depleted lineup at the moment, isn't it? We've got quite a big casualty ward. I guess it's no different to any other team, right?
No, but I feel for us, in particular, the fact that we're getting the injuries in the forwards from an already, what we see as an already okay set of forwards, to lose two or three of them potentially is tough. I think we need Harrison back, but at least for numbers.
Am I right in thinking that we've been on the phone to Steve Price and he's dusting one of his props off down in Cronulla to come our way. Is that
well?
What we,
Potentially. Potentially.
Do you want to pronounce the name, Sam?
He just changed his name this year. So we've had a little room, but it is only rumour, unsubstantiated, was Braden
Can you tell us his name Ueli. Last year before you tell us
yeah,
what it is?
Braden Hamlin Ueli, and he's dropped the Hamlin, which was he'd changed it to do with
his grandfather. Is that because he's got divorced or because he's...
No, no, it's for the listeners of the podcast. We'll make it simpler.
Yeah.
What's his name again?
So again...
Every time you say it, you go very quiet. You've not got confidence in saying it.
I haven't got confidence. So it's U-E-L-E. So you'd think U-L-E in English, but he says Yule, something like that. He's a New Zealander.
I beg your pardon.
Bit racist, yeah.
Right.
Is that it then? He's got just one name. He's like Prince. Is that how the way
That's
it works?
All I've got. That's all I've got. And I've not even got any validity to that. Yeah,
Rob, can you verify this signing? Can you send a text to the
Powers that be?
Yes,
I'll sort that out.
Just find out.
I'll work on that. I'll do that. Okay.
I mean, if we knew what his name was, it would help.
Just put bloke from Cronulla.
The Challenge Cup final became very much a one-sided affair, with Wigan embarrassing Hull Kingston Rovers 40-10. On a hot afternoon at Wembley, a brilliant performance from young halfback Jack Faramond saw him claim the Lanstodd Trophy in front of a disappointing attendance of just 56,383. It was the lowest attendance for a Challenge Cup involving two English teams in 80 years, excluding the COVID-affected finals. Well, I mean, I watched it. I got up and watched it, middle of the night in Queensland, turned it on. I didn't quite get to the end. I turned over to the Champions League. But, I mean, I did feel for both teams. I'm not surprised there are so many injuries in the British game at the moment, because the six again, I mean, he was just like out of control. Who was it that was the ref? It's the one with the pants pulled up really high. Who was it?
No, it wasn't him, was it?
It was,
I don't think it
was it
him.
Aaron
Pisspaw
Moore.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just six again. So I was like, Christ, give them a break, for crying out loud. They all looked absolutely out on their feet. So I thought that was the main issue. But also, you know, once you've got a strong set of forwards that are running hard, making good post-contact meters, the rest falls into place when you've got an attacking back line. And Wigan have got that balance. They've got tough resolve. They've got forwards that work hard, make the yards, and they set up the backs.
You know, they were building it up, weren't they, about like the coaches and like, you know, the sort of, you know, the angst that was building up between the two clubs and so on and so forth. And I think both of the coaches were sort of right, really giving it, like, you know, Wigan put that poor team out last week and got absolutely thrashed by Hull KR. So that rivalry sort of like rising. And I think on the day, I think Matty Peat actually won. In terms of, like, you know, his approach to the game. And it was really Willie Peters who left the little shit fucker. What's his name? You know, what's his name, Sam? You know, the little shit.
Mikey Lewis. Whilst injured.
Yeah. And if I saw that, I would immediately take him off, because the thing is, you're always going to be on the losing side of that sort of decision. And I think he got caught out and they scored.
He was diving at nothing, wasn't he? He was diving at fresh air, Lewis, for.
He's finished. And I think the other thing I said to you, Rob, I said Nsemba. I mean, I've always held off on him, and I think he's had a couple of bad patches while he's played for Wigan, but, you know, he's bounced back every time. And I think when he jumped up for that ball and scored the try and everybody just sort of like bounced off him and he just went down with it, I thought, you know what, he is a bit of a star player. I think he is going to be one of the best forwards for the World Cup, I think.
Yeah, he's big enough to play in the NRL. Faramond as well, you just can't beat pace. He's saying this about halves. No. You need pace, and he's got pace. Yeah. He's got electric pace, and that's what is the difference. You can step off his foot, and he's gone. Mm. he's gone. So I know he's a couple of years older than you and Irwin, but yeah, he's a good little player, isn't he? Very good little player. Yeah,
he does look it, and I know they're very keen on him at Wigan, the fans, I suppose, and I mean this genuinely, because I've only seen Faramund a few times, and to be fair, we've only seen Irwin a few times, but they talk about Faramund as potentially their future. Like we're hoping in another 12 months we'll be talking about Irwin as our future, halves-wise.
We'll finish on a bit of trivia. Former Jack in the Box wire winger Matty Russell has signed for Catalans. If Russell makes a first team appearance for the Dragons, he will set a record of having played for 9 different Super League teams. Russell's previous clubs in the top flight were Wigan, Hull, Warrington, Toronto. Remember them? Lee, Toulouse, Leeds, and Wakefield. Are those two girls still running around at Toronto? You know, the two that were on social media and were like...
Oh, I'm not on social media anymore, but I imagine they're still knocking about.
What happened to Twitter and all that? Like, just died, didn't it, on its arse? Just got taken over by a bunch of dicks and that was the end of it. So, anyway, good luck to him. I wonder, you know, if I owned some kind of like rucksack company, I'd be using Matty Russell as my spot, like, you know. Because he's always moving about.
Always go for the niche market, Rob, I'd say. Yeah, always that niche market, rucksack company.
He could promote rucksacks, suitcases, like setting up your Wi-Fi, anything, you know.
Removals.
He's got Russell's got a lot of sponsorship power there. He's not tapping into. Okay, it's time for Daniel as he takes us away from any ordinary player.
They say the holy water's watered down, and this town's lost its faith. Our colors will fade eventually, so if our time is running out, day after day.
In 8th place on my countdown is Darryl Clark. Wyatt actually signed the hooker just after he had won Man of Steel at Castleford, and his first season at the club was a quiet one. But from 2016 onwards, Clark was outstanding. His performance level was consistently high week after week. Clark's dynamism and ability to change a game in a moment was unrivalled, but his physicality and defensive brilliance was key for Wire as well. So many big tries, playoff semis against Saints in 2016, cup quarters against Wigan in 2019, just two examples of him changing the tempo and direction of a match in an instant. Who can forget his performance in the 2019 Cup Final, arguably the best individual display from a Wire player in recent years? Danny Walker may be a decent player, but it cannot be doubted that the Clark of 2016-21 was on a different level completely. Overall, he made 243 appearances and scored 52 times for Wire. My 7th place goes to Ben Westwood. The longest serving player on this countdown, Westwood played an astounding 446 times in 17 years for Wire. He signed in 2002 from Wakefield, and for those of us who remember him as the battering forward that he was in the second half of his career, it is actually hard to imagine him as the exciting attacking centre that he was when he first signed. Westwood was influential in keeping Wire in Super League, and was loyal to the club throughout its highs and lows. He soon made the move to the second row and eventually moved forward, but wherever Westwood played, his commitment, bravery and willingness to give anything for the shirt and the club was never under any doubt. For many, Westwood is the Wire legend of Super League, and he is still involved with the club in a different capacity now. What a servant.
Staying drunk on your vibe. The angels up in the clouds are jealous, knowing we found something so out of the ordinary. You got me kissing the ground.
But Dennis absolutely detested that song over the back of that.
I've been really tweaking it this week. Oh. We've had Melanie C. We've had some that bloke singing that. I thought,
soon as I heard it, and then you put even an extra bit in the middle as well between the players to try and fucking string it out. I know what you're doing. I was listening to it. I was thinking, oh fuck's sake, how do you fast forward this?
This isn't some Cuban band, is it? That wasn't there.
No, Jesus. Is it bollocks? But I mean. Funny enough, we're in the top 10 now, and it does feel like the top 10 with these two players. Daryl Clark, I think one thing I'd like to say about Daryl Clark, I think we saw the best of Daryl Clark. And I think, you know, I've talked about it before, selling players at the right time. That was a good bit of business for me. I think we got rid of Daryl Clark at the right time and when he went to St. Helens.
Yeah.
And we've got obviously following up with Walker. I think we've done really well there. So really happy to see him in the top eight.
Will the rest of the top sort of 10 be Ryder Cup players? Because it's basically Lee Westwood and Darren Clark, isn't it? They're both golfers.
Yeah.
Well, I don't remember Matty Blythe being a Ryder Cup or Gene Ormsby, and he's certainly got to sneak them in the top six.
Yeah, that's true. There you go. I mean, it's a. I don't know. Like, I guess I don't know. Who's he got? He's going to put in Morley, isn't he? He's going to get Morley in. He's going to get the Monaghans in. I'm not sure who else he's fitting in.
Hodgson, Breers.
Yeah, we've practically done it for him.
Chris Hill. Maybe.
Chris Hill.
Chris Hill. Can't see him.
Gary Cooper was a PGA Tour player, so that was number 10 as well.
They must have been a king as well at some point.
I don't know. Isn't it John Clark, Darren Clark? Yeah.
It all fucks up when you get to Ratchford, I think.
Wasn't it Nick Faldo Sculthorpe when he got married? Didn't he change his name to Faldo Sculthorpe?
Did he? I don't remember that.
No, he didn't.
With the tuna and the smell of freshly cut grass and scrapyard manure blowing across Cheshire. I see you've entered us into a charity cricket match. The last time a Warrington player looked comfortable at a sticky crease, Richie Myler had to move to Catalans.
Now steady on, Ralphor. Cricket is a wonderful sport. Tradition, skill and tactics.
The only tactical thing about Warrington at the moment, Samuel, is their second half capitulation. Shit show.
No, Ralphor. This is about bringing the community together.
Oh, rag and bone my arse. The only thing bringing the community together is a mutual disappointment every September.
Well, we've even got a few celebrities in our team.
Who have you booked, Samuel? Michaela Strachan and a bloke who once washed Ian Botham's box out after an Old Trafford test match in 1987.
I've decided Sitsy. Yes, Sitsy will open the batting.
Oh, tackle sacks.
Cricket suits him, Ralphor. Calm leadership and measured thinking.
Measured thinking? This is a man who wears a one dangling earring like a divorced pirate running a vape shop in Widnes.
Young Danny Walker will be captain in the side.
Oh, Sammy, the only duck with the loose equation he can navigate is the duck with roundabout on Birchwood Way.
Well, at least James Bentley's been practising his bowling well, for.
Oh, yes, Sammy. He's got lovely hair. I saw his run up in the nets. He looked like a man hurrying towards the Kazi after a Halliwell Jones pint of beer piss.
He's developing a dangerous in-swinger.
Oh, Samuel, you dirty old man.
I mean with the cricket ball, Ralphie.
Oh, sorry, Samuel. With this podcast, it's difficult to tell where the innuendo ends and the HR investigation begins.
Shall we enforce the LBW rule, Ralphie?
Oh, good heavens, no, not again. Why, I've never known something so pointless in all my life.
Yes, I know what you mean. Leg before wicket is a bit much.
Oh, my apologies, Samuel. I thought you were referring to Luther Burrell's wages. You know, LBW. Did anybody get it?
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Now tell me, where's Professor Broomhead Fielding? Is he a first slip, second slip, or third slip?
He's covering all three, Ralphie. And his shadow is covering all the way to cover point. And Toby King's wicket-keeping.
Oh, that's a good idea, Sammy. Was that Sidekick Steve's idea? Under the high bob, I doubt he'll even need any wicket-keeping gloves. He could just use the padding from his wallet.
Well, at least the match raises money for a good cause, Ralphie.
Oh, absolutely, Samuel. That'll raise a bit of money for the booper cover. You know, for Kai Taylor Ray when he pulls another hamstring attempting a quick single. Oh, besides, Samuel, let's be honest. The only ashes associated with Warrington are the remains of another season going up in smoke.
Talking of music, was that Channel 9?
It was Channel 9 because it really did epitomise the two cricketing nations because the British ones.
Soul Limbo by Booker T and the MGs.
Yeah, whereas the Channel 9 one from the 80s where the ducks used to come onto the screen and walk off.
Yes.
I mean, they're like, Alan Lamb used to get like 400 or a duck. That was, and Derek Randall would get run out every week. That was it. That's the Aussie one. So when I was putting that together, Mrs. London on the other side of on the sofa at the far on the West Wing, she looked up and she went, "Oh, my childhood." She you know, instantly that sort of. Yeah. So that was why I put it in, and I think also pointing out the different sounds. Dennis and I really picked up on this at the cricket. England batted first when we went to the test match, and you couldn't hear the ball on the bat. It was like the ball was hitting a stick. It was like every ball that England hit was like an edge, wasn't it? It was like you just and then Australia came into
timing,
bat.
Wasn't it? It's timing.
It was unbelievable.
That's what it was. Yeah.
And then in the afternoon, Australia came into bat, and it was like right out the middle of the bat, every single shot. And I thought, oh, that's the difference. There, you could just see it there. And there was about, what, 2,000 Richie Bennos dressed up in those.
Yeah, and talk about heat. They were in like 30-odd degree heat with like, you know, a synthetic
in the wig. The wig in a, yeah, and a silver jacket.
And a suit and everything. And I saw half of them walking through and like, I thought, oh, Jesus Christ, there's rabies there. Did you know? Did you know, actually, it was a crossword puzzle the other day that hydrophobic was means rabies. So I thought, hydrophobic. Yeah, it's basically allergic to water because they were just drinking beer. You have to explain everything for our listener.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Tickle Dad. This geezer was sitting on a train, all by himself, in a compartment. The train stopped at a station, little old lady got on, she sat right across from him. Anyway, the train started, little old lady took out her Bible, started to read. Train pulled into the next station, closed the Bible, put it away. When the train started again, took out the Bible, started to read. Every time the train stopped at a station, out the Bible. Every time it started again, she took it out, started to read. Well, he couldn't figure it out, so he leaned over and said, "Excuse me, darling, you're a nice old lady. I don't want to bother you, but why is it that every time the train stops, you put the Bible away? When the train starts, you go back to reading your Bible?" Little old lady looked up and said, "Why don't you fuck off?"
Welcome back to Tackle Gags, our regular review of the bullshit in rugby league.
Can I ask, what's been your favourite gag so far? I quite like the that you like one Kenny this Everett, week. Did you?
That one with Kenny Everett this week, because it perfect epitomises the
just goes
humor
on and nothing
the
happens.
Podcast.
And then.
Yes,
yeah.
And then yeah. Fuck yeah. Off.
Dear.
Last time, Warrington managed to beat Bradford Bulls at the Halliwell. Well, last time, if we all remember, we beat the Bradford Bulls. At the Halliwell Jones. But obviously, Bradford were handicapped by not having the pitch raised in the in-goal area to kick to, where it's like playing rugby league in the fucking Scalextric track. Actually, they're doing away with it. They're doing away with the speedway, apparently.
They are talking about skip. Yeah, they've got rid
of
the
still
speedway,
do? Yeah. Is Ivan Major still going round on the speedway? Was it Peter Collins? Was it Peter Collins?
Oh, you're bringing them all up now, aren't you?
Well, yeah, I tell you what, I know Peter, because four doors down from me, there was a lad called Miles who used to did speedway. And Peter Collins used to pick him up all the time. He used to come down the road with his car and his trailer on the back. That was it.
Was he coming down sideways?
Yeah, could be. He just slide down the road sideways.
Anyway, the tackle bag section continues, where rugby league once again packs its bags, jumps on a ferry, and desperately tries to convince people in another city that it's definitely the future of sport. Yes, rugby league never stops innovating. We have the magic weekend in Everton this year. We've got Wembley. We've got Vegas. And now Warrington are in talks to take the game to Dublin. Because apparently the solution to every problem in rugby league is to put someone else in front of rugby league and hope people just turn up on the off chance, basically. Now, to be fair, Dublin does have a rugby league club, the Dublin Exiles and the Longhorns. So they do have a couple of rugby league clubs and they have a couple of international teams. Crowds for the Irish Rugby League quite small. Couldn't really find how many people supported rugby league. It's definitely not more than rugby union. So it's probably like turning up at the stadium and hearing every little sound, you know, opening a bag of crisps or whatever. Anyway, rugby union pulls in £80,000 for a crowd, whereas rugby league is still basically just made up of an Australian who happened to find himself over there, a Wigan bloke who works for an IT company, and somebody's cousin who thought that touch rugby was a euphemism for rimming. But let's be honest, fans going to Dublin are usually only going for one thing. Guinness breakfast, 14-hour pub sessions, and a night ending saying, who the fucking hell are Wigan? That's basically why we're taking the game on the road, isn't it?
Mm.
Now, what this really means is basically it's 20% sport and 80% drinking, isn't it? Mm. Wherever they choose to take rugby league, it tends to be a place where there's lots of drinking. That's what I thought. So what I was going to ask you both this week is, could you come up with a couple of places where you think rugby league would be a good place to take the game and showcase it based on the current strategy? Where would you take it? Any thoughts?
So drinking involved, is that what you're looking for?
I think so. Either that or some kind of novelty where you could have a bit of a festival or a bit of a, you know, happy time.
Where Bridge Street?
Bridge Street? That's not taking it on the road anywhere, is it? It's down Bridge Street.
I've always said the Channel Islands. But
there's no rugby league team there, though, is there? That's a thing.
When I worked on the Channel Islands, Lofty, who was the omelette chef, he got kicked off the island for urinating.
Just for urinating?
Outside a nightclub. We were outside a nightclub and he urinated. And they've got like a panel there in the Channel Islands. They don't go off British law. And he just got removed from the island. That was it. Next day, gone. So I don't think that'd go very well with the Warrington fans, if I'm honest.
No. Well, I've identified two places. These are genuinely my places where I think we should take rugby league. First one, Munich Oktoberfest.
Yes. The Oktoberfest,
yes.
I think.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Giant beer halls. You can stand on the table. And you've got an umpire band. Nothing better than like enjoying yourself at a, you know, like a beer keller sort of thing. I think also you could get yourself some novelty lederhosen.
I think there's still a beer keller on Bridge Street, isn't there? There used to be a beer keller on Bridge Street. I mean, you wouldn't have to go as far. Right, okay.
Lederhosen, though. The traditional German dress lederhosen. On the actual embroidery on the front of it is actually your coat of arms for the family name and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew that. I found this out when I went. So I thought, oh, that'd be good. Everybody could turn up in like the Warrington sort of coat of arms on the lederhosen. So it gives you an opportunity to dress up. And then I think it would just be quite interesting for fans to be explaining the rules to a load of Bavarians, like, you know, nuances.
And it's not in October, isn't it? Isn't it in, like, August?
Exactly. It's September. In September, so you could, like...
Fits nicely,
get that game.
What's your other one?
Hello, Hal here. At this point, Dennis's signal fucked up. No doubt because he lives in the countryside and has the same technology as the video ref. Anyway, his second choice was Mexico.
Firstly, drink-wise, you should really mix it up. And I like a bit of tequila, so that's a start there. So you've got all the tequila. But the other thing is I like the idea of wearing wrestling masks. And I think you could have like a Warrington Wolves wrestling mask. And I do think, obviously, from an identity point of view, if you get yourself into any bother, you've got a mask on so nobody can recognise you. The other thing as well is that they do have an international team. And also, I like the idea of I'd like to travel to South America anyway and go and see the Aztecs. And the Aztecs did have a game that was called Olamatizite, which is one of the oldest sports in the world. And they used to run on a stone pitch, and they used to use the hips, thighs, shoulders and elbows and keep the ball moving and have to get it through the hole at the end of the thing. I've got nothing else here, but I've just thought I'd
To be honest, you could still do that on Bridge Street.
Predictions.
Afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
I'll predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
A night game next for Wyatt as they take on Hull at 8 p.m. this Friday night at the Halliwell Jones.
Why are you making a thing about a night game?
Because we never have a night game on a Friday night.
You can do some flashing lights.
I've not had one for years.
Oh, you've missed those flashing lights, haven't you? You like
I just
the
missed
floodlights.
Watching a game at a decent time on a Saturday morning, missing the result and getting up and watching it. That's what I'm. The money, Sam won £33. I won £30.56. Dennis lost £14.72. It leaves our totals at Mr. Sankey, £127. Dennis, £185. And I'm on £1,320. Now, I'm not confident on this one. You know, like I've said, you know, put a lot of money on. But having watched them play Bradford, and Hull must be resetting, right? They've lost their coach. They've not played for a couple of weeks. If they're ever going to come out and reboot, this will be the game. So I don't think Warrington will lose, but I think it could be a lot harder than we actually think. Yeah, you're in agreement, Sam?
Well, I think the week off will have done both teams good.
Mm.
If we were playing this 3 or 4 weeks ago, I'd be confident of a 40-point win because Hull really have been shit in some games this year. But on the flip side of that, every now and again, they produce a performance and surely they've spent 2 weeks getting better,
you
would think. There is the Richie Myler effect. Are we going to be up for it just to get one over him? And there is, of course,
the sticky crease reference in the sitcom.
Yes, I'm glad that didn't go any further. There is also, of course, the sidekick Steve effect. Is that going to come into play?
Oh, of course, because he's going isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
All trying to show off in front of their new coach to get contracts. If this was being played in Munich this weekend, I'd probably maybe just go for Hull. But at the down close to Bridge Street, I think it's a win for us. I think that's where we're at on this one. Shall I go first on the betting? Shall I put some...
Yeah, go on.
I don't think the odds are going to be brilliant for Wyatt. So I'll have a pound on a Wyatt win. I'm going to put my money more on a try this week. So who's the young lad that we've brought in who's playing prop? He'll start again, won't he, with a bit of luck?
Luke Thomas.
Thomas. So I'm going to have, I may as well, I'm going to put £50 on Luke Thomas. First try. I think that's a good, it'll be about 200 to 1. So that's where I'm going. Dennis?
No, Sam, go on. He was about to say what he was going to go for. Go on.
£5 on Thewlis and... A couple of quid on Warrington.
Couple of quid on Warrington. Right. Okay. Let me guess. Liam Byrne.
Tenner, Liam Byrne, and a pound on Warrington. It's pointless. It's pointless, actually, isn't it? You need to change it. What's the point?
This is what we're doing here. Is showing people that betting is pointless. We're trying to get people away from betting.
Can I change to Toby King?
Do you want to change to Toby King, Sam?
I want to change to Toby King.
How much
King,
are you having on Toby King?
Still only a fiver.
Still only a fiver. You do owe the bank £100, by the way, just to let you know. That from last year? That debt will need to be paid at the end of the year.
Are you looking forward to it?
Yes, it's a night match. I quite like an evening game. We've not had an evening game in ages.
It'll be light, won't it, of course? I always think it'll be dark, but it'll be light over there.
It'll be light.
Yeah, right.
Then floodlights are really coming into effect, aren't they? Yeah. Let's get a floodlight showing for most of the summer.
Will Daniel be missing his train home again based on the captain's challenge? I mean, the challenge cup final went on for about 4 weeks.
Jesus.
What is the point of that? What is the point? My God, the one in the Challenge Cup final. First of all, he's got a silly voice. Why has he got a silly voice? No one talks like that.
Can I just see it from another angle?
How many angles do you need to see it from? With all the NRL are like, boom, done, see you, move on. Oh, my God, he dithers on for...
Can I just see it again? Can you slow it down again?
No, can you go back? Can you go back, please? Yes, that's where we go from.
What made it worse? Wigan actually called for a captain's challenge in the 79th minute.
For a laugh.
Oh, it can't be good for anyone's health watching that captain's challenge.
And it's when the I've said before, I'm sick of him talking to me. Obviously not talking to me, but he's talking to the audience, talking to us like we're thick as pig shit. Now, what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to see whether when he leaves the
voice,
ball, leaves
Sam. Please
his
do the
foot,
voice. Do the voice.
No, I can't do it as well as you. I'm trying to see when the ball leaves his
very
foot.
Good. Oh yes,
is he? Is both are both feet are both feet behind the ball? We can see there that they are, and you're thinking, I can't see that they are. That blurry.
Wasn't the one on like there was another one on like was he offside? I can't overturn that offside. He was clearly offside by about half a meter. And he's like,
I haven't got enough evidence to overturn that one. Now, could you show it from, please show me? Could you show me from the camera with the cataracts, please, for the fourth time?
Oh my God! Is there no one at the RFL that goes, lads, you're ruining the game. Can we just stop this?
You know what else annoys me is the fact that, like, because it's a Challenge Cup, we can't have that decision made by the referee and it's reviewed by the video ref before. Yeah. So it has to go to the video ref up as a try or not a try. It's like, oh, so we're going backwards in the... Oh, fuck's sake. Oh, fucking shit, yeah.
They almost dither as much as when Sam told us about the Bradford game at the start. We went about 8 minutes before he got into the game.
And do you know what, though? It was hot. It was very hot.
God's sake. Okay, that's it. So following on from the Cooper's Hill cheese rolling event, it's a double Gloucester goodbye from me. A Dairy Lee slice. So long from Sam.
All the best.
And a stinking Bishop's farewell from Dennis.
We're saying, yeah?
You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say? We got nothing at the end again. Everyone's just given up, haven't they? It's pathetic.
I expect you two to come up with something.
I've given up. We've just talked about the captain's challenge for 5 minutes. For Christ's sake, I want to put a knife in the side of me. Jesus.
I know. It's like getting into bed with the missus and then you've just got lost your erection.